This evening we continue our discussion of the third series of lectures on man and his culture as we consider man's cultural products. Now, by way of introduction, we should notice that as man is fruitful, as he multiplies, as he subdues the earth and the sea and the sky and all of their contents in terms of his great cultural commission to cultivate and to subdue the cosmos, as recorded in Genesis 1, a very great variety of cultural products are invented and utilized. Now, man starts to do this, we are told, by dressing and by keeping the Garden of Eden, and also by tilling the ground. And so in doing this, man obviously needed and still needs to invent cultural products like spades and shears and rakes and plows, and today more sophisticatedly, combined harvesters and other machinery. Now, we already saw in last semester's series of courses, IBS 201, on the relationship of man to nature, we already saw there that subhuman creatures, creatures less than man, also form various products. For example, volcanoes produce lava and granite and pumice stone. Lifeless matter produces energy. Mineral viruses produce tetanus and smallpox. Bacteria produce enzymes and ferments and gases. Plants produce coal and pollen and allergies and fruit food and oxygen, and when they die and rot, they produce humus, and animals produce coral and eggs and young and meat and nests and lairs and dung and webs and honey and silk and anthills and beaver dams. However, when man makes a product, unlike plants and animals and matter, man does this consciously, not merely by nature or by instinct. Even when a savage makes a clay bowl almost exactly the same way as his ancestors have always done for countless centuries, that savage nevertheless has to concentrate, however little, in so doing. And this is what distinguishes even the rudest human product from even the most intricate animal product. You see, no spider ever consciously thought out the pattern of its beautiful web before it started spinning it, whereas even the most backward bushman first thinks out his primitive plan, his plan of procedure, before he digs a hole in the desert sand at night to house himself and then cover himself with the sand. The bushmen build no houses at all, lifelong, except a very simple structure of sticks. When they abandon their old people, usually when they're well over 100 years of age, and make a little twiggy shelter in the desert for the old people. Apart from that, bushmen never build homes. Dig a hole in the sand at night and get into the hole and cover themselves with sand, and that's it. And obviously, a bushman's home, if you can call a hole in the ground a home, is not as intricate or as complicated as is a spider's web, which is a very complicated structure. And yet, the bushman does some thinking before he digs a hole in the ground. He selects a spot consciously where the sand is looser than another place, whereas a spider does not do this. Now let's take a look, secondly, at human cultural products in the Bible. Of course, Adam made himself spades and plows to till the ground, no doubt, and to dress it and to keep it. We know that he invented words which he gave to the various animals which came to him. But the first cultural product of man ever described in any detail in Scripture is the love poem invented and sung by Adam when he first saw Eve. And he says more or less literally, according to the Hebrew, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the womb of man. Therefore shall man his parents leave and to his wife shall firmly cleave, and they shall be one flesh. That's the first human product, a poem described in the Bible to any extent. Now, after the fall, we read that man made a whole host of cultural products. Some of these products, like the aprons of fig leaves made by Adam and Eve, and the city built by Cain, were not pleasing to God. Other cultural products, like Jabal's tents and herds and Jubal's harps and organs and Tubal-Cain's artifacts in brass and iron, though misusable, apparently developed under God's common grace and were not, in themselves, displeasing to God. Yet other cultural products, such as Abel's offering of the firstlings of his flock and Noah's construction of the ark, were pleasing to the Lord. Note here that the ark was not only well constructed out of gopher wood sealed with pitch, both on the inside and on the outside, and with three stories and a door and a window all very carefully measured out, but that the ark was also an ecological haven for the preservation of all the various kinds of living creatures, and not just for Noah's own selfish purposes. It would be excellent if modern man could have the same outlook on life in doing what he does with a view to preserving and enhancing and developing the entire creation, which was Noah's motive in building the ark. Now, after the flood, we read of man's exploitation of the soil in agriculture. We read of his mining of precious stones and metals in mineral culture. We read of his utilization of plants and their products, such as trees and wood and fruits, such as ears of grain and pomegranates. And we also read of man's employment of animals and their products, such as flocks and herds and milk and dung and honey and coral and pearls, etc. All of those things, you see, are made or produced by animals. But man uses them, and in using them, man turns them into a further product. Now, man not only utilizes minerals and plants and animals and their products directly, man also treats such minerals and plants and animals and their products by changing them first into semi-manufactured human products and later into fully manufactured human products. As far as semi-manufactured human products are concerned, man, for example, changes iron and copper ore into iron and copper by smelting them into semi-manufactured metal bars, and even further, by later mixing these metals into alloys such as bronze and brass. Man also processes olive trees and produces both wooden planks and semi-manufactured olive oil. And he processes grain and produces semi-manufactured wheat flour. He mixes mineral products, such as lye, and plant products, such as vegetable oils, to make different semi-manufactured products, such as soap. The biblical soap being a mixture of caustic soda, a mineral, and vegetable oil. Then man also mixes plant products, such as spices, with animal products, such as onica, which is obtained from part of a shellfish, to make different semi-manufactured products, such as incense. And man also processes natural fleeces of sheep into semi-manufactured wool, and he processes natural milk into semi-manufactured butter. But that's not all. Man then takes these semi-manufactured products and he turns them into fully manufactured products. Thus, he fashions his ingots of brass and bronze into artifacts and weapons. He refines his olive oil and uses it for fuel and for seasoning food and for medicine. he turns semi-manufactured grape juice and wheat flour and linen into fully manufactured wine and bread and garments, respectively. He utilizes semi-manufactured building blocks and wooden planks to manufacture houses and furniture. And he further manufactures animal products, such as raw wool and butter, by turning them, respectively, into woolen clothes and processed cheese, etc., etc. Try to illustrate this for you in diagram one, how God creates the entire creation, consisting of ground, plants, animals, and man. Ground consisting of various subdivisions such as soil, minerals, and rocks, which, under man's treatment, are turned into semi-manufactured copper, diamonds, and clay, and they again into fully manufactured brass, diadems, pottery, etc. It's not quite as simple as semi-manufactured or fully manufactured. No doubt there is a whole series of different gradations in between, and you can constantly go on turning even finished products into something else again. For example, I once had an old watch which you would think is a fully manufactured product, but the thing wouldn't work anymore. And so with a piece of sealing wax, I stuck it to a piece of hardboard and put some daubs of paint around it and entitled it The Philosophy of Time. Regardless of the artistic merits or demerits of this, you can see that even the watch is not necessarily the most rounded out product that a human being can make. You can do something else with it after that. So too, plants, trees, shrubs, fruits, roots, and humus can be turned by man into planks, and that into furniture, into flour, and that into bread, into juices, and that into beverages. And animals, flocks, herds, webs, silk, milk, and dung, animals and animal products, that is, can be treated by man and turned into meat, and that into food, wool, and that into clothes, butter, and that into cheese, and dung, of course, into fertilizer. Now let's look at, with this biblical perspective, let's now take this biblical perspective into the world outside of the Bible, created by the same God that wrote the Bible, and look at human cultural products in post-biblical times. Now, on the basis of the foregoing, the subsequent development of man's cultural products can now be evaluated. Consider articles manufactured from minerals, such as screws, metal knives, forks, spoons, pen nibs, elevators, airplanes, tractors, neon light tubes, dry ice, aerosol cans and the gas inside of them, pneumatic drills, plaster of Paris, cement, bricks, gravel, marble, chemical fertilizers, jewelry, asbestos, ironing boards, mica, kettle elements, atomic bombs, nuclear power stations, needles, hydroelectric turbines, Geiger counters, jet engines, skyscrapers, aquariums, toothbrushes, and a variety of many other mineral products, or I should say human products produced from largely mineral raw materials. Consider further articles made from plant matter, such as canned peaches, cushions, jute bags, cotton shirts, wooden tables and chairs, and other furniture, Christmas pudding, pumpkin pie, floral arrangements, quinine, floorboards, vanilla essence, bonsai trees, sacks of peat moss, plastics. Many plastics were, and many of them still are, made by cooking up old wood and rubble, and knocking a couple of atoms out of them and turning them into these substances we know as plastics, which most of which have an organic base. That means that they are made from material that at one stage was alive, wood chiefly, and nearly all of which, at least to some extent, at least partially, have an organic or a once organic base. Consider packets of bird seed, towels, motor car tires, tissue paper, peanut butter, camping tents, if they're made of linen or canvas, books, lollipop sticks, flagpoles, bird's nest soup, vitamin B yeast tablets, penicillin injection fluid, Pepsi Cola, etc., etc. Then consider the various things that man makes from animal matter, such as bone buttons, woolen sweaters, scarlet dye, sharkskin handbags. Scarlet, of course, is derived from the crushed body of a little insect. Tinned meat, fish paste, ivory ornaments, whale oil, blood polony, otherwise known as black pudding, made of the blood of animals, poured into skins that some people eat, caviar or sturgeon's eggs, tripe, stomach of a sheep, sausage skins, fur coats, anti-snake bite venom, eel pie, which the early Americans, I am told, ate in Massachusetts, ostrich feather hats, dried jerky, bearskin rugs, pig's heart valve transplants. It'd be fascinating the first time a pig's heart valve was ever transplanted into a human heart, with success, was in the state of Israel, of all places. But it was done. Anti-smallpox vaccine and thoroughbred household pets. When you buy a Pekingese dog at the pet shop, you're not really buying the same thing that God created and that Adam discovered in the Garden of Eden. You're looking at the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild of that great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy dog after man has gotten hold of it and groomed it and cultivated it. That's why some of it's the great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy's dog are Pekingeses, and others are St. Bernards, and others are Chihuahuas. They don't grow that way in nature. They grow that way as a result of selective breeding and as a result of man's cultivating hand. Also consider the many mixed articles manufactured from a variety of different inorganic plant or animal ingredients. In other words, when man throws together various products of the mineral, animal, and vegetable kingdoms and processes them further, such as a can of mixed herbs, a haggis. When I was in Scotland, they threatened to give me a haggis. Fortunately, they didn't execute the threat. It's a stomach of some animal, young calf or something, filled with all kinds of meats, kidneys and so forth. Bagpipes, theater tickets, pianos, office desks, hair shampoo, synthetic fiber textiles, things like nylon and rayon, telegraph poles, American Indian headdresses, which contain a variety of different substances like eagle feathers, calico and canvas strips, beads and what have you, wigs, lipstick, shoes, cough mixture, salted peanuts, television sets, dog biscuits, insect repellent, and all the countless zillions of things that man makes. Finally, consider the various social groupings which are culturally produced by man. You don't find them amongst animals, nor were they found in the Garden of Eden until man started developing them. Here I'm referring to social groupings such as marriages. That's the one that did start in the Garden of Eden, but after God had brought two individuals together, then they normatively decided to institute a marriage and that a family and so on further. So the social groupings are also products of humanity. Marriages, families, clans, neighborhoods, clubs, schools, cities, countries, let me add to that, ratepayers' associations, political parties, churches, states, nations, hospitals, banks, businesses, penitentiaries, cemeteries, cafes, department stores, stock exchanges, international organizations, the UN, etc., etc. All of this I've tried to bring out in diagram 2, showing how sophisticated man's cultural products have become in post-biblical times. There we have man's subjugation of the cosmos, which produces from minerals, nibs, elevators, steamships, rockets, etc. Man produces from plants, shirts, sacks, candy, rubbers, etc. Man produces from animals, cochineal, pets, cod liver oil, frozen meats, etc. He produces from mixed sources, drums, TV dinners, movie theaters, state fairs, etc. And then man produces from man families, nations, languages, religions, etc. Truly then, God has set the whole world in the human heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now let's make a very short attempt to classify these cultural products of man scientifically. And I think we can distinguish, first of all, mathematical products such as weights and measures, set squares, compasses, telescopes, logarithms, etc. Second, physical products, including decibels, pressures, light years, voltages, kilowatt hours, and lenses. Third, chemical products such as gunpowder, tungsten carbide, a very hard substance that is often used to put on the tips of drills to give them durability, motor oil, high-octane gasoline, etc., etc. Vital products, that is to say, things that man has produced from once living organisms, such as humanly improved strains of wheat, rust-resistant wheat, and so forth, thoroughbred racehorses, eugenetically improved human stock, blood plasma, which is kept in hospitals, in blood banks, cornea transplants, not only corneas from human beings, but even from baboons and apes, vaccines, which of course are manufactured from serum prepared inside of cows in order to inoculate people against smallpox by giving them a mild attack of cowpox, meats, etc., etc. Consider fifth, psychical products, including Pavlovian experimentation regarding animal behavior and its horrible application in Russia in the form of brainwashing people in order to try and change their outlook on life. Consider the science of psychoanalysis, of various techniques in psychiatry to try to help neurotic and even psychotic people to some extent, IQ tests, and all the other 1,001 applications of psychology and industry and in sociology today. Sixth, consider the logical products of man, his thoughts, his words, his reasonings, his arguments, his judgments, etc. Consider man's products in history, such as dynasties, buildings, nations, thrones, wars. His linguistic products, such as the 1,000+ languages spoken in the world today, and all the variety of words that different nations have developed in different environments to describe the same things. Price tags, that's a form of language when you go into the supermarket and buy up a commodity and see 39 cents written on it, particularly when it was 29 cents the previous week, and you draw your conclusion. Flags, all flags have a symbolism. Insignia, such as that worn by a soldier, his epaulets on his shoulder, on his uniform. Street signs. What would we do without street signs? We'd get lost. Computers, which is a very sophisticated form of language product. Or consider social products, such as various customs. Gentlemen getting up for ladies in the bus. Chivalry, clans, and in Scotland, tartans and kilts, what goes with it. Clubs. Ratepayers Association and Little League baseball teams, schools, churches, congresses, etc., etc. Tenth, man also produces economic products such as coins, bills, banks, supermarkets, the phenomenon of interest, money earned on a principle that you invest over a certain rate of time, stocks, mortgages, and all of the other manifold phenomena in the world of economics. 11th, consider man's aesthetic products, his sculptures, paintings, dances, poetry, style, music, etc. And consider also his juridical products, things that have to deal with the legal aspect of society. Laws, courts, jails, convicts, police, soldiers, criminology, phenomenon of parole, rehabilitation, and what have you. Lastly, let us notice the interconnection of all of these various human cultural products. First of all, there is an internal interconnection. That is to say, the relationship of the various parts of a human product to the whole product. For example, compare the various components of a cultural product such as a church. A church made by man consists of concrete or brick walls, of a metal steeple, of wooden doors, of brass doorknobs, of red carpets, of stained glass windows, of cushioned pews, of an illuminated pulpit, of the water in the baptismal font, of the inscription on the communion table, of the Bible on the lectern, and, of course, of the attending congregation, which is a social product of humanity. But that church, complicated as it is in its external structure, internal structure, does not stand alone in the world. It is, as a church, interconnected with its surrounding environment. Compare its surroundings to the church. The church has a setting, namely a parking facility alongside of it, a wooded lot, a high fence, a tarred road leading up to it from an exclusive suburb situated in a prosperous city in a religious state of Tennessee, of a freedom-loving country in man's world inside of God's universe. So we see that everything that you and I make is ultimately interconnected with everything else in the universe. That's why life is such a serious business. That's why human work is of such a serious character, which is why whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, and whatever we make, we're to do it all to the glory of God. Because God is the author of what we do. He gives us the raw materials, then he gives us the energy and the desire to turn that raw material into our own cultural product. All culture is thus from God. He works in the heart of man to cause us to make music and to build parks, etc. Ecclesiastes 2. All culture is, indeed should be, to God. Revelation 14. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. Yes, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works do follow them. Follow them into glory. Well, now, if all of our works are going to follow us into glory, we better see to it that we do a real good job on producing works that will last. Not hay and stubble, but brass and iron and gold, as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. Our conclusion, then, is that all human products that we make are worth making well, because we're going to be with them on the new earth forever. Revelation 21, verses 24 through 26, which tells us that the kings of the earth bring the honor and the glory of the nations into the city of God, the New Jerusalem. The honor and the glory of the nations being, of course, the total content of the human cultural products which have developed in every nation under the sun.